says to getting your bearing, your direction or heading. Arriving at our bearing requires we have a reference point of some sort. And how do you get a reference point so you can draw out your bearings? Well, everyone has ideas, but are they good ideas? It would be easy to quote some scripture, which, don't get me wrong, that's a good thing. But if it's not really owned and practiced, it's not much of an answer. It's more of a reply that sounds good and makes us look like we know something, but really, under the layers of acceptable Christianese, we're often still pretty clueless. We want to own our stuff. I mean, take real ownership of our situation, and not blind ownership either, which means we just agree without knowing what we are agreeing to, or we agree just to get someone off our back. That's called subservience, and God has never asked us to be blindly obedient. Blind ownership is really no ownership at all. So, we've got to be more surgical about getting down to the truth of exactly what it is we are owning about the Lord, along with understanding our set and bearing in Him. Having your bearing means we must have a good reference point. We say Jesus is our reference point above all reference points, but our attitudes and actions often point to a very different story. We don't need a bearing. We need true bearing. Position yourselves, as spoken of in 1 Chronicles 20:17, is a key phrase as it relates to our set and bearing. Set equaling the phrase position yourselves, or how we stand, hold, and see. And bearing speaks of our consequent heading with respect to our reference point. The reference point of all reference points, Jesus, our true north. In 1 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat is in a real spot. It was bad. The people of Moab and Ammon, along with other armies, even from beyond the sea, came to battle against him. Scripture doesn't say what their problem was, but they obviously were all in agreement as to who they thought needed killing. I bet the king rallied the army to a defensive position, but according to Scripture, Jehoshaphat's first response was to go before the Lord. Now there you go. Verse 3 reads, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." He positioned himself to hear and obtain the favor of God. At the end of his public prayer, in verse 12, his words are recorded as,
"For we are powerless against the great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you."
Did you get that? He said, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." He knew where to get his set and bearings when he had lost them. Although it doesn't necessarily say this outright, but by evidence of his answer, it's safe to say he believed God would direct their path. He believed God would hear an answer. As it turns out, the Lord did. In verse 17, God said, "Stand, hold, see," and then gave them their bearings for the next day. And what was the first thing they did? They bowed down before the Lord, giving thanks, and prepared to go out the next day. They knew where they were going to be tomorrow, so they understood how to be where they were today. And what was their great plan for tomorrow? Jehoshaphat put the worship team in the front of the army in all their holy attire and told them to sing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever," and had them march and worship in front of the army singing, blowing the trumpets, and banging the drums and cymbals unto the Lord. As it turns out, that was exactly the right thing to do. The Lord went before them, delivering Judah from great harm. Now, I think that's about one of the most incredible stories I've ever heard. That is an example of having lost your set and bearing, finding it, then taking action. And all I can think is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths.